C1C. Number 4A.
So we start with the interpretation of the ninth chapter, but we said, what is necessary in order to interpret anything? The very first point is to go always to the higher frame of reference than what one is interpreting. So if we interpret a chapter, we somehow first have to go to the whole textbook, because that's the next higher frame of reference, and therefore first interpret the position, the place value of the chapter within the overall structure of the textbook, so that the chapter does not stand isolated, and we do not know what is its environment. We have seen that the value of a term or of a chapter is only properly seen in the relationship to its environment. So the environment is the whole textbook. But what is the structure of the whole textbook? And so we go out to see that the textbook contains the whole teaching. That's the holistic sense. That there is nothing besides the Christian Science textbook that would complement the textbook. The textbook by itself is the whole teaching. Therefore, the textbook can be studied by everybody and is not related to a church, nor to an organization, nor to a manual, nor to anything. It stands as a presentation of the science of God. If we go out from that point that we have here, the one teaching, we can see that that one teaching now is categorized, that it has great categories. And when one knows the categories of Christian Science, one finds very easily that the textbook has first of all four categories. The Word, the Christ, Christianity, and Science. All that is in my structure book, if you read it. I just recapitulated. So that we can see that the first four chapters have the accent on the Word of God, which means the presentation and the revelation of the nature of God. Then the next four chapters have another category, the category of the Christ, depicting how God, the Word, how God translates itself always to the point of ideas. So you have the Christ translating itself from God to man, from God to idea. So the second four chapter have this tonality. Then Mrs. Eddy presents the third four chapter, in which the chapter creation is. The third four chapter depict the third side of the city, Christianity, with the accent, therefore, not on God, which is the Word, the accent not on how God translates itself to men, but on the outcome of that translation, namely the world, the universe of ideas. Christianity is always the outcome of the Christ, and the outcome of the Christ is a universe, a realm of ideas. Therefore,
the third four chapters have the focal point on idea and the realm of idea, the operation of idea, the inter-reflection of ideas, the power of idea and all that. It's on idea. And then the last four chapters symbolize the science. We had Word, Christ, Christianity, now science, and depict there really the oneness of principle and idea. That's the point of science. Bringing, so to say, the idea of Christianity back to its principle, so as to show that principle and idea are not two, but are one, and therefore present principle and idea as one. So already, if we have this simple overall view, you see, you already have a much better insight into the subject of the one being, by seeing that that one being is presented here in those four ways of operation as Word, Christ, Christianity and science. From there, we can go a step further and see that we can differentiate even further. We have seen that understanding demands always further differentiation and diversification. And therefore, we can ask ourselves, why did Mrs. Eddy use four chapters in order to explain one side of the Holy City? Why didn't she do that in one chapter? The answer is that each category, each one of the four sides of the Holy City reflect one another, that each side reflects every other side, and therefore each side has a fourfold reflection. And that's the reason why then Mrs. Eddy presents each one of those four again in a subtone already through the Word, Christ, Christianity and science, so that we get in the first column of the Word as the Word as Christ, the Word as Christianity, and the Word as science. These are the first four chapters. Then she goes to the Christ column, the Christ translation, and presents there the Christ in the four, the Word, the Christ as the Word, and the Christ as the Christ, and the Christ as Christianity, and the Christ as science. And then she comes to the next big column of Christianity and presents Christianity, and that's where we set in our work this week, presents Christianity first as Word, chapter on creation, then Christianity as the Christ, chapter on signs of being. These are the two chapters which we consider. Then goes on to Christianity as Christianity, and then Christianity as science with the practice chapter. And so finally we come to the last big column, to the science chapters, the four science chapters, presenting science as the Word, science as the Christ, science as Christianity, and science as science, bringing us up to the 16th chapter, the Apocalypse. The other chapters that are in the textbook, Mrs. Eddy says, are added. They are, so to say, no more the integral, belong no more to the integral structure of the textbook, but are added, like the glossary is an appendix, so to say. Fruitage is another appendix. Does not really belong to the structure of being itself. So when we talk about the 16 chapters of the textbook, we really speak about chapter 1 to 16, well knowing that Mrs. Eddy has two chapters that are added, but for the structural sense of the textbook, only the first 16 chapters are used to define the structure of being. This whole presentation that I have given up to this point, you have in my structure book. Just before page 1 is a short survey of those 16 chapters presented in a matrix of 4x4, so that one has a much easier way of symbolizing really already at that point the structure of being. For those who are familiar with the structure of the textbook, I just quickly run through those subtones, and the other just don't listen to it or just wait until I come back to the subject. Why should Mrs. Eddy present those four sides of the city in its reflection with each other? Well, that's very natural, because in the infinite, which is spirit, there can never be a limitation. Therefore, every aspect always reflects every other aspect. We just can't help it. So the word must reflect the Christ and Christianity and science. And in order to bring that out, therefore we have the 4x4 equals 16 representation. And now comes a little but. But we see that she does not just reflect those four with each other, but that she uses already another category of the divine system of reference in order to bring out that reflection. Namely, that seen vertically, now you have seen it vertically, huh? those first four great columns, they symbolize Word, Christ, Christianity and Science from the level of absolute Christian Science. Whereas when she depicts them in their reflection as Word, Christ, Christianity and Science, she shows that reflection on the basis of Christian Science, so that you have a matrix, a 4x4 matrix, which already gives us a terrific insight into the whole structure of being. It already shows us that the Infinite One always operates on the level of absolute Christian Science, as absolute values, as Word, Christ, Christianity and Science, but having its impact on Christian Science, which Mrs. Eddy says Christian Science is science applied to the human, therefore translated from the absolute standpoint to the human, and shown that these four absolute categories reflect themselves as applied to the human, as Word, Christ, Christianity and Science, and we get a already completely practical sense of the whole system. We see that Word, Christ, Christianity and Science are not just something that is up in the air in the absolute, but that they have their impact on the human scene, and therefore reflect themselves as Word, Christ, Christianity on the level of Christian Science. Which leads us to what? We said that there is no such a thing as a fact per se, an isolated, self-existent fact, a bird, but that everything is only a point of intersection of relationships. You remember now? All right. Therefore, we can see that every chapter, when you visualize that as a matrix, therefore every chapter, therefore, is a point of intersection of those four categories of being, always an intersection of the absolute with the relative. Yes? You just have to have that matrix somehow in front of your eye to see what I mean. Therefore, we can see, for instance, what is prayer? Prayer, therefore, is nothing else but a point of intersection where, vertically now, the word in its absolute sense, therefore the nature of God in its absolute sense, intersects horizontally with the word in Christian Science. The word in Christian Science is accepting God, and therefore, what is prayer? Prayer, therefore, is nothing else but the ability to accept, that's horizontally, vertically what? To accept the whole nature of God for oneself. I guess that perhaps didactically I have left out something, that's perhaps why you have difficulty, so I go back again to those two great categories of Absolute Christian Science and Christian Science. I said in Absolute Christian Science the world is really a revelation of the nature of God, the Christ is the translation of God to man or to idea. Christianity is the realm of idea. Science, we said, is principle and idea being one. But I didn't explain really what is the value of word Christ, Christianity and science on the level of Christian Science. Therefore, when you read vertically, the word in Christian Science is really accepting the proposition of God. You get that? Accepting really the proposition of the nature of God, accepting the proposition. The Christ in Christian Science is always the power of manifestation in spite of opposition. That's the Christ. Christ is the divine manifestation that comes to the flesh to destroy incarnate error. That's Christ in Christian Science. It is the power of manifestation in spite of its opposition. Christianity in Christian Science is always a sense of exaltation, which one can call improvement. Always a better sense of existence is the outcome of that Christ manifestation. And science in Christian Science is scientific understanding. Scientific understanding. Now, if you can keep in mind just these 8 points, that should not be difficult. Because it's so easy, because they are 2 times 4. So actually you only have to keep in mind 4 and then know that there are 2 different standpoints. So it's actually only 4, and remember that there are 2 different standpoints, the absolute standpoint and the relative standpoint. This is not difficult, see. And then you have the whole matrix of that. You can define the whole textbook in its big structure. You can therefore say, if you have the first word, now I come back to where I left off, if you come to the word in Absolute Christian Science, which says the word in Absolute Christian Science, you know now what it is, you see, you just can think it out, it is the nature of God, the revelation of the nature of God, and you have horizontally the word in Christian Science, which says, I accept the word, I approach and accept the word, then the point of intersection is what? Is to accept the nature of God. Well, what is that? That's prayer. That's scientific prayer. To accept exactly the nature of God. Really, to accept that the nature of God is our nature, that we have no other nature but the nature of God, and so we begin to see that really prayer is accepting that God is within us, that the nature of God lives within us, and in this way prayer is that we approach the nature of God until we embody the nature of God, that we are in accord with God's own nature, that we have a God-like attitude, that we have not an other attitude, but that which is along in line with God's nature, that's prayer, that's scientific prayer. Now you can reason out for yourself what Mrs. Eddy must say in the next chapter, Atonement and Eucharist. If you don't know what is in the chapter Atonement and Eucharist by reading it, and you may have read that chapter I don't know how many times and not know really what this is all about, perhaps you have felt it's about Jesus. Jesus comes up again and again and again and again, but that may be all, but that is not the metaphysical interpretation. What is the metaphysical? What is the meaning of that? Now, you can calculate the meaning of that chapter now yourself, because that chapter is in the vertical again, where it says, I present the revelation of the nature of God. You have that, vertical? It's the revelation of the Word, the nature of God. I must put it this way, horizontally, you have the Christ. You know who I am? The Christ in Christian Science, which said what? We said it is the manifestation in spite of the opposite. Therefore, what is Atonement and Eucharist? It's therefore manifesting the nature of God in spite of the opposite nature. And if we do that, we atone. And when you read that whole chapter, it's all about this very point that we reach the atonement only through atonement. And she explains atonement really as that which is willing that the Christ must overcome the human at every point. You can see that the Christ nature, the God-like, is overcoming the God unlike. That's Atonement and Eucharist. Every time that within our consciousness there is an overcoming, that there is an overcoming of the God unlike with a God-like nature, we atone. And then we have done that to the nth degree. We have at one month. We have achieved atonement. Can you see that you can calculate your chapters? I mean the big meaning of the chapter. If we go to the next point of intersection, which is the chapter on marriage, I will say now, what is really the scientific meaning of the chapter on marriage? You can calculate it. You can say it still is in that vertical column of the nature of God. So it must have somehow to do with the revelation of the nature of God, but how? And you come to the horizontal interjection of Christianity, which says exaltation, elevation, improvement. It shows that as the outcome of the second chapter, as the outcome of overcoming ungodlike qualities with godlike qualities, the outcome, Christianity is always the outcome, will be that our humanhood is improved, that we show forth a improved or a higher humanhood. And that is the content of marriage. In marriage, all that she presents there is always that a higher sense of humanhood, not of manhood. She doesn't talk about men, only about the human. That the higher sense of humanhood is brought out, the higher sense of morale, a higher sense of propagation is brought out, a higher sense of relation between people, not between ideas, is brought out, that there is a higher sense of man and female together as one quality, as one individuality. You have in that chapter constantly, grammatically, what you call the comparative form, never the superlative, only right at the end then the superlative, but right through the chapter always runs the comparative form, better, higher, healthier, you see, more beautiful. It's always the comparative form that runs right through, because it shows that only through a dominant Eucharist we arrive at a higher humanity.